Raised Rowdy.
Welcome back to the Raised Rowdy podcast. My name is Luke Levinson. I'm joined by Vinny Paolizzi. That's the right way
Man,
to say it, right?
That was very European of you.
Paolizzi.
Yeah.
Lam-pow.
That was nice. Yeah.
That's correct, though?
That is the correct pronunciation. My family has always said Paolizzi because it's easier,
okay.
I think. But if we were in Italy right now, they would say Paolizzi for
Got
sure.
Got you. Oh, sweet. So I'm right on the money with that.
It means little Paul, like Paolo.
Okay.
Paolizzi is like Got little you. Paul.
Okay, very cool. Are you a Sopranos guy?
I've seen it. I don't identify with the culture, really.
Yeah,
because
that's fair.
My family was not... quite that powerful.
Okay.
You know?
It's a little closer. Okay.
But I loved it. I mean, the show's
okay.
Awesome.
Yeah. I like Paolizzi too, because it's like you're paying a girl named Lizzie, maybe.
Paolizzi.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I've never thought about that until right now.
Sweet. Well, I think the one time we met was just at Bobby's.
Yeah.
And I yelled at my friend Chris Beavers and our mutual friend Chris Beavers. Shout out Chris Beavers.
Yes. I've yelled at a lot of people at Bobby's.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's
mostly
a good time.
To listen to the music that's playing
Definitely.
On stage.
Definitely, man. Well, thanks again for coming and welcome back. You were here in 2021. We were just talking about it, I think,
yeah.
or a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Before my time. But let's jump into it. So you got Spaghetti Western Volume 2
right.
coming out later this month.
Yeah, October 24th.
And Volume 1 came out already.
This spring, yeah.
Awesome, awesome. Did you know when you were writing the songs, like, what was the mentality behind the two volume thing?
Yeah, there's going to be a third, actually. Spoiler
Sure.
alert.
Okay.
But I like smaller packages. I think it's a lot to ask people in this day and age to listen to 12 songs in a row.
For
even when some of my best friends put music out, you consume it in the car, you consume it here, and you have a 20-minute drive, you listen to the first three songs, and then it's, you get to the rest eventually, obviously, for the artists you really love.
Yeah.
But something about smaller packages, I've just, can't say, something about music in smaller packages.
This is a clean show, by the way.
Yeah, music in smaller packages.
Yeah.
It appeals to me. I like when artists do that, and I also loved the album art that my buddy Ian Bush did.
Okay, yeah.
And he gave me a bunch of options, and I was like, oh, wow, we could do this in, like, pieces, and I get to use, like, all these options and kind of make, like, a themed like year out of it instead of just like here's 12 songs, here's the picture of it, and like there it is.
Definitely.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. When you're putting, I feel like when you get to a place where you're ready to put out an EP or like any kind of package, there's a feeling of like, okay, all these songs belong together.
Totally.
Do you feel like it was that was the case with these?
Yeah, there's definitely themes within each volume for sure, and eventually, probably next summer, we'll package it all as a vinyl and
cool.
put it together as a collection.
Okay.
But there are specific like arcs, I think, within each one.
Okay.
This one that's coming now, there's one just upbeat, fun, kind of wild song. But then the rest of them are kind of more like family or like relationship based.
Okay.
And that just kind of, they all kind of had the similar feeling, and I was like, you know what, this, you know, these just felt like they belong together.
Yeah,
you know,
okay.
It's hard to, I should really think more deeply about this before I put them together.
It just felt like they
went together.
Well,
I guess
it might be the wrong observation for me to make, but like so far the singles that we've heard from the volume two are in second person, I think, right?
That's,
and the first volume is mostly like kind of talking to yourself.
Yeah.
Except with the exception of humming, because it's kind of like a second person.
Right.
Am I circling something that's not?
Man,
not there,
no. That's like, a cool observation. I think the first volume felt like the season that I was living at the time, and when I kind of recorded all this stuff actually last year, it felt very like relevant to that time, and they just seemed like the most. Ones that I could reach out and touch like in that moment, so that's why I picked the first four.
Got you.
And these next ones, like I said, because they are first person, like they're more like this is my experience.
Yeah.
And these next ones are similar. Like there's a love song, you know, that's kind of based on my life and stuff, but it's kind of seeing them in like a more of a distant kind of feeling. If that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. How long have you had these songs for?
I started working on this like project, I would say middle of 23 or so, kind of when the I put out the self-titled record the end of 23, but
yeah.
I had been working on that for 2 years. I mean, I think I talked about this years ago when I was on the same yeah. podcast, but like I live in hand to mouth. Like I've had every side job you could possibly have. And yeah. I would do like half my side job money would go to like surviving and half of it would go to like this record that I was making.
Feel
and it took so long. Yeah. And like that self-titled is that, I mean, and yeah. that's why parts of it are really sparse and because we did it in like basements and yeah. you know, even this one, we did background vocals like in my buddy's house.
Yeah.
You know? But this next one, I started doing it in 23, and we really, me and Mike Harris, who produced it, we spent a lot of time working on the songs and the song structure and
okay.
me playing something and him being like, what if you just rewrote the whole back half of yeah. that song and then come back in a month and like, you know, redraw it okay. basically.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And so it was a lot more chiseling
yeah.
than like the first record. It was just like, these are the songs, yeah. hire people, play them the song two times, go record it yeah. and then put it out. This was very much more calculated from,
yeah.
from a songwriting perspective too. I mean, I hope that people see within my, you know, career, whatever you call it, an arc of like learning stuff,
yeah.
you know, listening to more songs, playing more songs, learning, getting better at guitar, like yeah. all this stuff. I hope that always kind of gets to,
yeah.
to another level. And I think each of these, like, you know, volumes, whatever,
mm-hmm.
Hopefully showcase like a different piece of me figuring some stuff out.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Oh yeah. Well, I mean, as a fan, I mean, I hear an evolution from like the
thanks,
LP
man.
To coming to this, and especially like Hummin is probably one of my favorite releases this year, just in general. It's so,
thanks,
so odd. It reminds me a little bit of like Morning Phase, Becky kind of stuff.
Oh, dude.
I don't know if you
I was into,
jam
I
mean, with that.
Okay. I was into all that. Man, looking back, like high school and college, I listened to so much random
yeah.
stuff from that era. You know
yeah.
what I mean? And now I feel like I've gone back and I just like have been so like head first in the 70s like songwriters the last
cool.
couple years.
Okay.
But back then I was so far all over the map that when something from that reference source like rears its head in my music, I get excited because I'm like,
yeah.
oh, that's still in there.
Yeah.
Like, I can still draw on that even
for sure.
however many years later.
That's a nice feeling.
Yeah, sure. That's cool.
That's awesome. Well, that could you talk about that song a little bit? You wrote it with Luke Preston, correct?
Yeah. Do you know Luke Preston?
I don't know him.
Yeah.
I know him from the song credit.
It's right, yeah.
I should know.
He wrote a couple of songs with LV Shane.
Okay.
Like, who I don't know personally or anything, but I think that's his, like, biggest, you know, cuts. I guess
sure.
he probably has some more, too, but I met him through our pal Derek Holtquist,
okay.
who's a
yeah.
great songwriter.
Yeah, for sure.
Kind of, like, the wildest character, just, like, a very fun individual,
yeah.
and I think that's how I met Luke Preston or got set up on a write with him at some point.
Nice.
And we wrote a bunch of songs. And Hummin, like, we were trying to write a song about, like, who's, like, the worst guy of all time. And, like, how could he make everything everybody else's fault and, like, be on his way to, like, face the music, whatever, but just, like, still not, like, grasping it, really.
Yeah.
And just being, like, yeah, I'm just kind of like living life.
Yeah.
Just, whoever gets in the way, gets in the way. Like,
yeah.
I'm just kind of, because both of us are so not like that.
Yeah.
Both so neurotic and so worried about what everybody thinks all the time and trying to do the right thing. All
yeah.
the time. What if we just like weren't that at all?
For sure.
You know what I mean?
And it lives in me and a lot
yeah.
of people, though. I feel like the
totally.
Asshole side of it, though.
Yeah.
Like you can be super intentional with the whatever your friends, the people you're with, but maybe sometimes I feel like I'm compensating for deep down, I'm an asshole.
Oh,
so I have to
man.
Be. Like, super.
We'll be right back, too.
Good.
Yeah, man, that was that's one I've had for a long time, and
really
I wanted to put it on I think I wrote it during the recording of the LP.
Okay.
So it was too late to, like, you know,
yeah.
track another song, whatever, and so it was always in my back pocket, and then I did some more work on it. I think I rewrote the second verse.
Okay.
The
one band stonk and then
yeah
okay cool
yeah.
Oh, yeah,
that was like I forget what the original lyrics were, but they were just so insane that
yeah.
I don't think anyone would have even gotten it except
yeah.
for Luke and I, because we thought it was funny. And then I think Mike really loved that solo part that he could like make a guitar solo over, like that whole guitar
yeah.
you know, slide thing with the piano coming in,
mm-hmm.
like that's all his that's like his world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can picture stuff like that. Like, hey, I want this to happen now.
Mm-hmm.
But he has a really great sense of this is what should happen in the instrumental sections and how to piece them together and go back into, you know, the rest of the song. And
okay.
Stuff.
Very cool. Yeah. Do you play the piano as well? Is that you playing?
No, I wish. Do you know Billy Justino?
I do.
He has played for Brothers Osborne, Air Church. Nice. He just did a gig with Post Malone, I saw.
Nice. Okay. Sick. Very cool.
He's a great piano player. And he played piano, he played organ, he played Mellotron. I think it's called Mellotron.
Yo, yeah. Kind of a flute sounding
thing. Yeah. The band, I should shout the whole band out, honestly, but Tucker Wilson played drums. He plays for Justin Moore.
Okay, cool.
But his family is like goes back in Nashville a couple generations of all kinds of cool music. Nice. He has like all this music trivia that I would never know just because his family like lived it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And bass, cool. We had JT Cure, who's one of my favorite bass players.
Nice.
He just has always been one of my favorite bass players.
Yeah.
And you know, Mike knew him, and it was kind of a reach to get all those guys together at the same time.
Yeah.
But it happened for that week in February that we got everybody for a week.
Yeah.
Which was great.
And
my wife was 9 months pregnant. So it was
really?
Like, it was kind of risky. Like that was the only week everyone had.
Yeah.
But like she could have kind of gone into labor any time. Yeah. So it wasn't like a rush to get finished, but it was like I could have to leave at any point.
Yeah.
The baby ended up coming like 2 weeks later.
Okay.
But
that is kind
of
cool to have.
But could have been, yeah.
Yeah, the arrival of your baby and also like the finish of the
song. Yeah, that is pretty cool. It was a wild time. You don't think about it in the moment, but there was just a lot happening.
Yeah.
You know what
I mean? Definitely, man. It sounds like you and Mike mm-hmm. was pretty instrumental, like the ideas. How did you get linked with him, and did you know him beforehand, or?
Yeah, he produced the self-titled as well.
Gotcha.
One of my closest friends, Brooke Stevens, is a photographer.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And she photographed a bunch of the Ultra Medicine shows and studio sessions and all kinds of stuff back in the day.
Cool.
And I think through, you know, socials and whatever else, Mike had heard of me through the Revival, you know, train or the Fam Jam stuff. I don't remember, but he knew that me and Brooke were connected and was like, hey, Brooke, I would, you know, like to work with him someday, whatever.
Yeah.
And I was playing guitar for an artist named Brittany Spencer at the time.
Yeah, very cool. Awesome.
And we were playing the Opry, and which was really cool. And Old Crow was also on that night, and in our dressing room, I was like kind of nervous, you know, but you know, like that's how it is.
Yeah.
In our dressing room, Mike comes in and was like, I hear one of my favorite songwriters in Nashville is in here.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, this is really awkward, not awkward. It was it was very funny. He was all in like this huge, in like the Western gear.
Okay. Like a nudie suit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, nice.
And
that's awesome.
I was like, I was just nervous. I was just like, yeah, man, great to meet you. Like,
yeah.
And
yeah.
The most like, you know, I mean, it was like starstruck, but I had seen him play with Brent Cobb for all those years. Mm. And like,
shit.
I was excited to like meet him. Cause Brooke was like, oh, Mike might come say hi to you, whatever.
Yeah.
Anyways. So that's where we met. And we kind of just both had a similar, like, you know, influences and wanted to make similar music, I guess. And he had started wanting to get into producing, and the Old Crow Medicine Show guys have a studio, like, half a mile from my house.
Okay, nice.
And they, you know, were starting to kind of do some recording there and stuff.
Yeah.
So anyways, we just kind of started hanging out and showing each other songs and... yeah, it's been a really great creative relationship, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, and I feel like producers are supposed to do this, but I think in this day and age maybe they don't. But I feel like he gets certain things out of me that I didn't kind of know were there in certain songs, and even certain songs that were kind of not throwaways, but just like, hey, I'm gonna show you this. I think for the self-titled, I showed him like 30 songs.
Yeah.
And for the spaghetti, probably the same thing.
Yeah.
Like maybe 30, 40 songs.
Mm-hmm.
And something that I was like, man, this is like the thing.
Yeah.
He was just like, I just don't know if that one's there. And then ones that I was kind of like halfway done, he was like, you should finish that.
Interesting.
And and not even like, hey, here's the words you should do. Hey, here's the, but like arrangement wise, here's maybe this would be cool. And come back in a month and we'll like talk through them again. And I think at its core, like, producing is that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's arranging. It's helping get something out of the artist that the artist wouldn't get if they weren't there.
Yeah, definitely. Does the producer as an artist themselves, too.
Yeah, exactly. And he's such a great guitar player, too. I feel bad that I'm gassing him up this much, but...
sounds like I asked what
He's going to he's going to get way too much enjoyment out of this. But he's such a great guitar player, too, that I've learned a lot about just guitar and competition.
Yeah.
Composition.
Yeah.
And how to just use that instrument as a not just a songwriting tool like I've always used it, but also, you know, structures and chord shapes that I wouldn't normally play, or different keys, different capos positions, different, you know, just another kind of perspective on everything.
Yeah,
you know,
that's really cool.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And I did want to ask about, like, so we have the background of humming a little bit. I was asking about that, and then also Family Tree is another one.
Yeah, man.
Yeah,
Family Tree is one of my favorites.
Oh yeah,
I think our mutual friend Jack McKeon.
Yeah,
your friends.
Oh yeah.
He he and I kind of grew up in a similar way. I don't know what the proper way to say it is, but we both grew up working like all kinds of like manual labor stuff. Yeah. So I've been doing, you know, some version of landscaping, cutting grass, plowing snow, like all that kind of stuff for pretty most of my life, you know what I mean? And him, same thing. He worked for this family. I forget what their last name is, but it's like an Irish last name.
Gotcha.
In upstate New York. And mine was my uncle's, Durani, D&D Landscaping.
Okay.
I can give them a little shout out.
like, look, like a dumbass, like, what?
And we just said, like, you not only working for a family business is wild, but, like, the families that you work for are just, like, crazy.
Yeah.
And, it's, like, these estates you work on, you know, like, my family moved here in, like, the 20s to work on the Campbell Soup family estates.
Shit, really?
They were, like, the gardeners and the landscapers and stuff like that.
That's a good gig.
I think so. I mean, it might have been a terrible gig. Yeah. Who knows? But they're a huge, like, Philly family, you know, business, whatever. Anyways, there's tons of... Italians that are still like the Pizzatis, the Romanos, all the landscaping companies are still that, like, back home. And Jack and I were just like trading stories about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I just kind of threw out the idea of like money don't grow on the family tree, you know?
Yeah.
And he really liked that. And then I don't think I had anything besides that, honestly.
Yeah.
And he was telling me about all the names for his were very stereotypical of like an Irish. It was like Billy, Bobby, Jim. It was like all the things. So I was like, what if we just wrote a verse about each one, like, you know, each one of them, whatever. So the first verse happened in like a minute. And then the second verse is all him. He's like way smarter than me, and he's an English major. So the second verse is very like, you know, I think it's like an elevated way to say like simple stuff.
Yeah.
But he's very good at that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that has his like fingerprints all over
it. Got you. Okay. I didn't know he was a co-writer. That's awesome.
Yeah, man. He's a great co-writer. He's a very thoughtful person and is such a fan of music that that, you know, all that comes through, which is great.
Definitely.
But we went to his hometown last year, like around this time.
Nice.
And I was like, I'm going to play the Family Tree song. And he's like, well, you can't play it here because they're all here and we didn't change any of their names.
Oh,
the
shit. Really? Okay.
So like they were all like,
Ronnie or something. Double
Who's the one that Billy stays sober till he drinks again.
Yeah.
He was there and he was drinking and it was like, whoa,
this is
happening, man. Yeah, man. So
okay.
That's how that one kind of came. And again, like we were saying before, that one is like I can touch and taste and like feel that one.
Yeah,
it was, you know, it happened to me.
Yeah, I mean? Definitely. Well, I was gonna ask if that was true to like your Thanksgiving experience, but it sounds like it's.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's all.
Yeah.
My family doesn't have like a ton of like, you know, drama or anything like that. We're all, you know, everybody gets along and stuff. But it's huge. I mean, my mom's one of seven. My dad's one of four.
Mm.
All my cousins were within like a 10-mile radius,
nice,
so like kind of more like siblings than cousins. And,
gotcha.
And you know,
how many siblings do you have?
I have two younger sisters.
Okay,
who are both like saving the world, and
I'm
just like writing songs and stuff.
Okay. Well, but a different way.
Different. We're all, you know, we're all saving the world. And stuff.
Yeah, for sure.
But
that's awesome.
But yeah, man, we go back. We go back at least a couple times a year.
Nice. Okay, very yep. cool. Did you grow up in like a musical family? Like how
did
No.
My parents love music.
Okay.
Love music. Not musical. My mom can sing. She says she's always like is like, you know, shy about it. But my mom and my mom's mom was in the choir
okay.
and like played the piano and all that kind of stuff. I think if my parents were both oldest in big families
mm-hmm.
and basically have been working since they were 10. They both just retired, which is crazy. Yeah. But they've been working for like over 50 years,
yeah.
like all the time.
Yeah.
So I think if they pursued some sort of thing in the arts, like they would have,
yeah.
you know, but my dad was like the guy who had the crate of vinyls
yeah.
to bring to the parties and stuff. Like nice. his record collection was, and it's still, all, I mean, it's like all, and it's in Philly, which is so strange, but it's like all like Outlaws, Pure Prairie League.
Really?
He's huge Jackson Browne.
Okay.
He loved like Kansas.
Okay.
Boston, that
yeah,
like
the sure.
record.
Yeah.
It's huge Springsteen, obviously, because, mm-hmm. you know, that's the Springsteen belt.
Yeah.
Like where I grew up.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had a great music like collection. You
okay.
know what I mean? And listened to all kinds of different stuff. And like my mom loved like old 70s like funk albums and like Motown from the 60s. So her record collection, which got added to it, is like Songs in the Key of Life.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's the first Hall & Oates stuff before it was like Rich all the poppy girl. Thing.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
called, there's a record called An Abandoned Luncheonette.
Mm.
You ever heard of it?
I haven't heard
that. They were from Philly too.
Okay.
But it's like, it's just like a whole different thing than like their 80s deals.
Yeah.
There's they both had like these interesting kind of
yeah.
tastes and you know, just loved it. Went to a ton of concerts and
yeah.
all that kind of stuff.
That's great, man. That's how it gets into you. It's like having a parent like that.
Yeah. So musical family, but not in like, there wasn't like, you know, guitars all around. Or
yeah, for sure.
We had a piano, which I got willed to us by like an aunt or something.
Oh, really?
I forget. But the piano was like, it was always in the house and eventually we all,
yeah.
I think because we weren't forced to do it,
yeah,
we all like made our way to it. Like
yeah,
my sisters
definitely.
Both sing, like you know.
There's something to be said about that for sure.
Yeah, like how, and I think with my daughter too. That's how I would love it to be. Is just like her to just discover it.
Yeah,
and not even and if she wants to do it for 6 months and then like doesn't for 6 months and then
yeah.
does it, like just have it be a part of her
yeah.
life instead of being like you need to be at piano lessons at 6 p.m. or
yeah.
else you're in trouble.
Definitely. Yeah. Cuz
I think that turns people off to it.
For sure. And I think it's like inevitably gonna happen. Like if you
yeah.
listen to a lot of music and then you have a piano sitting there, like eventually
yeah.
the kid's gonna do what a kid does.
You want to participate.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
That's really cool. I started taking like piano lessons at 4 and I hated it.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
4 is too.
4
young.
It was like a church say lessons are not good, but like my dad was a pastor.
Oh,
so I'd just
wow.
go there and like sit with the organist and
yeah.
stuff, but like yeah, it was.
Where are you from?
Fun. I'm from Houston.
Houston,
Texas. Yeah.
Is that where the Beavers connection is?
Yes.
Got it.
Yes, my dad was his priest too.
Whoa.
Yeah, crazy. A little pastor's kid.
Yeah. Here, that's why. Sure. So pastor Sorry, I grew up in
yeah.
Catholic stuff. Is that different?
So it's priest. You can say priest.
Okay.
It's Episcopalian.
Oh, perfect. Yeah.
If he was Catholic, he
totally
can't get married, can't have kids.
Right. I
think still.
I was getting there. I was like,
yeah.
I you said priest or pastor, and I was like, I don't know if I know exactly what's happening.
Were y'all Italian Catholic churchgoers?
Okay. There's not a lot of choices in that
yeah.
department when you're, you know.
For sure.
With vowels in your last name. Like
yeah,
that.
Definitely.
But I mean, I didn't really realize this until later. Like my high school was a bunch of everything. I mean, but it was a ton of Irish and Italians. I mean, that's
yeah.
Philly. Suburbs of Philly is like just it's tons and tons of Irish and Italian last names.
Yeah.
Which is cool. I didn't really think anything of it at the time, but just growing up in that kind of like soup of all that stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, for sure. It's got to be kind of nice to know like where you're from, like roots wise.
100%. And my family's been. I mean, they moved from both my parents' families in Italy were like a couple miles away from each other, and
oh,
moved
cool.
to America a couple miles away from each other.
Okay.
Like,
wow.
There's so many connections between like my extended family. Like my mom's cousin is my dad's best friend.
Yeah.
My uncle's best friend, and like there's just like all these, you know. When you your family literally picked up from a place and then moved to a place with a bunch of people from that first
yeah,
place,
yeah,
like there's just like hopefully no inbreeding, but
yeah.
there's some roots going.
Yeah,
on.
The bonds.
Yeah,
the bonds, yeah, for sure.
And moving here, I think everyone was like, oh my gosh, she's leaving the
yeah,
like
really?
The nest.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. Well, when did you start? So you started playing on piano.
Yeah, like. Kind of. I when they brought all the instruments in at school,
yeah.
when you're like, whether it's third or fourth grade,
mm-hmm.
I played the viola for
cool.
many years. For,
yeah, that's cool.
Through high school, I played.
Yeah.
But before that, yeah, piano. I had like, you know, fake guitars
yeah.
when I was a kid. And my mom said I always kind of like was drawn to that.
Yeah.
I think I just liked being loud and making noise and
yeah.
stuff. But,
yeah.
But yeah, I never... I feel like once I started writing songs is when I really wanted to play. Like,
okay.
for some reason around, like, middle school, maybe before middle school, like, that fifth, sixth, seventh grade, like, I just had this, like, I hated writing in school. I thought it was so dumb that you just gave me, like, a grade.
Mm.
You asked me to write about something, and then you gave me a grade.
Yeah.
And, like, I had to, because I didn't follow a format or whatever, because
yeah.
I would always just want to, like, write something else.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't really like it.
Mm.
And then I was like, there's this whole other thing I can write and like make.
Yeah.
So I like making stuff and
yeah.
I have terrible handwriting. I'm not an artist. I don't have any sort of like sculpting.
Yeah.
I have none of it. You
yeah.
know what I mean? But like writing stories or writing, you know, eventually songs was like
yeah.
something that I could like, something that was in my head and then came out.
Yeah.
And that felt good to do that.
Yeah,
you know
for
what
sure.
I mean? And
for sure.
Songs just ended up being, and I still have like a bunch of these journal, and it's just like the most awful music of
great.
All time.
Yeah,
but like it was, I was practicing. You know,
yeah.
I did it all the time.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's so cool. Fifth and sixth grade is, I feel like it's so early to start.
Yeah, but it was like you know, banging on a piano and trying
sure.
to figure something out, and like
yeah.
I was a terrible singer. I mean, I was a bad singer for so long that I can't believe my parents didn't like say something at some
mm.
point. Even when I moved here, like I've been here, I'm 31, so I moved here when I was whatever, 23.
Yeah.
And I wasn't that good. I mean, like I was just driven, you
yeah.
know, and I really wanted to do it. But like looking back at the you know, the videos and like the music I was making at the time, like it was a little rough.
Mm.
And for my parents to be as like, you know, supportive as they
yeah.
were, I'd give them a ton of credit.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, and I think it's maturity to be able to admit that,
yeah.
you know, at a certain
of course.
Point.
Yes,
but,
it is. Yeah.
But there's a certain amount of delusion that I think you have to have
yeah, yeah.
at the beginning, cuz it's hard. Like your fingers hurt when you play guitar,
cool. yeah.
your voice does, I mean, a 7th grade boy does not have a good singing voice.
Yeah.
99% of the time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's changing.
Sure.
It's like, so to have that delusion and be like, no, this is good.
Yeah.
Like what I'm doing is good enough for me to do
yeah.
this, you know?
And I think there's also something to be said for like, you kept doing it though.
Oh, yeah.
Like you can listen back and it was purely passion
mm-hmm.
that got you to where you are now. So
100%.
That's something. Right
I saw
there.
A Facebook, this is funny. I saw a Facebook status today. You know, you can do like your memories.
Yeah.
I saw it sometime this week, and it said it was from whatever 6 years. I think I put out my first music like 10 years ago.
Okay.
And this was a status, Facebook status from like 8 years ago. And people still did Facebook statuses.
Yeah.
And it said, cringing pretty hard at my first EP, thinking of taking it down. Thoughts? ? And like, no, I don't think there was any likes or any comments, like nothing, just
yeah.
posting into the void.
Yeah.
And that's like that, but that's the whole thing. Like
yeah.
even when I'm putting out now, maybe in 5 or 10 years, I'll be like, man, that sounds like a, you know, pissed off 25
sure.
or whatever, you know,
sure.
30 year old. And I'll be, you know,
yeah.
45 or whatever. And
yeah.
So I think that's all part of it.
Yeah.
But
definitely.
that slight delusion to be like, no, this is good.
Yes.
So that keeps you going.
Yeah.
I think you have to have a little bit of that.
Yeah.
And some people are so self-critical that they can't even get off the, diving board.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Where
they
does
just
that,
sit
yeah.
there.
It's like, where does that come from? Just like, you know, it's maybe it's good that your parents were like supportive. Maybe they like helped
yeah.
him. Like,
I think they were just like, he's doing something and he's not on a screen.
Yeah.
I think they were, I was the perfect generation for like, the screens are going to destroy their eyes.
Yeah.
I didn't like video games, which was a win.
Yeah.
But for them, I think I was like an outside kid
yeah.
mostly. But like my time inside, I didn't really feel like I don't really like movies. Like,
yeah.
I just kind of like.
Yeah.
Listen
create.
To music and make stuff and
yeah.
play. I love playing drums.
Okay.
Drums were like my first instrument where I was like, oh, I could like do this.
Yeah.
And, but you can't really write a song on drums.
Yeah. I guess
you
can.
I mean?
Yeah.
It's hard to.
Yeah. That'd be tough.
So anyways.
Yeah.
I feel like you asked me a very different question.
No, I don't know. I'm glad to get all that. Like I'm glad to hear like the genesis of just how you started playing. And, I really do think that that's the most successful people, like, in any vertical. It doesn't have to be music. There is, like, a level of, like, delusion that you have to have. I can do all that. Like, no one else sees it, but I see it.
Yeah, I see it. And they might see it one day. And even if they don't, I see it.
Yeah.
And I'm working on, like, kind of a writing project right now. And it's a similar thing. Like, I'm not qualified to do it. I don't think that it was not, you know, bestowed on me by some higher power that I should be good at this.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
And if it dies in a Dropbox, like, it dies in a Dropbox.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's a certain element of that where you have to chase the idea long enough to see what it is.
Yeah.
And that's why, like, songwriting, I mean, I've written, I think, 450 or 500 songs, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
And, like, I stand behind, like, you know, 60 of them.
Yeah.
Maybe 50 of them.
Yeah.
That I think are, like, really good.
Yeah.
But the rest of them, like, were just...
Yeah.
Seeing if this is it. And if it's not it, then it's not. That's just
yeah,
not
for
it.
Sure. You got to write those to get the keepers.
Yeah, man.
For sure.
I think that's how it is. I don't think that you ever, like, retire from that. Like,
no.
I think if you want to be an artist and if you just are.
Yeah.
That's been something I've been thinking about a lot lately, too. Is just, like, I think I just am a creative person.
Yeah.
And you can't deny that.
Yeah.
You can't just, like, not do that or else it's like an itch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're not making stuff, you're not participating in that.
For sure.
In some, whatever it is. You don't have to be selling out stadiums, but if you have that and you're not doing something with it, it just, like, sits in you and it's not a good.
That's true. And in the execution of, like, doing it, like, writing anything, there is, like, a crack the code thing. I feel like there's, like, a mystery that you're trying to solve.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love puzzles, too, like crosswords and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. That. Yeah. And that mystery might make sense for you to solve today, but, like, a year from now, you're like, why was I trying to solve that mystery?
Don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's so, like, many things. I just bought this this guitar that I'm, like, in love with. You know what I mean? I've been looking for a 50s Gibson for 10 years basically.
Yeah.
And I just haven't found the right one or had money at the right time. You know what I mean? And I finally, like, you know, sold a couple things and got, you know, put together and I'm playing it different. I'm playing this guitar differently than I play guitar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm finding things about guitar that I never spent enough time playing to get to, because I wasn't enjoying it as much.
Yeah.
Because I'm enjoying that guitar so much that I'm sitting there for 2 hours and getting to a place where, and not that, I mean, I love my other guitars too, but something about this one is getting me to a place that the other ones hadn't got.
And I
think that's part of just all this stuff.
Yeah, you know for sure.
Part of inspiration and everything else.
The John Lennon thing where he's like, I don't know how to play tuba, but if you give me a tuba, I'll write a song.
A million percent. And there's people there's athletes like that too. The best golfer in the world could never have played baseball ever. But if you give him 3 hours in a batting cage, he's probably going to figure out how to get the ball to the bat
for sure.
Pretty well. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So, like, you just, it's like a process thing more than anything else.
Like methodical with your creativity or whatever your thing is.
Yeah. And you just have to do it. I mean, just sit and do it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a book called The War of Art.
Yeah. I've heard of it.
It's 80 pages and any writing, anyone that's even interested in writing, I recommend it. Cause it just, the gist of the whole book is this guy, he says, it's in one quote. He's like, I only write when inspiration strikes, but luckily inspiration strikes at 9 a.m. every day.
Yeah.
Which is just about getting there.
Sitting down.
And if you're there for 2 hours, like for me, it's like 45 minutes. If I'm sitting and playing and trying to write something for 45 minutes straight by myself, it's probably just not happening that day.
Uh-huh.
And I should just practice.
Okay.
And I'll just practice some other stuff.
That sounds
but like, but if it is there, like if it is happening, like if it, the writing thing's happening, I'm already in my chair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm already like with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Whatever 70% of success is showing up or whatever.
It sounds so trivial, but stuff is so, that stuff hit me at a certain point.
Yeah.
And I really try to stay like, you know, like remind myself of all that.
Yeah, definitely. On songwriting, like when you moved here, you said, when was it? Around
2018.
Okay.
So I was 23.
Okay. Very cool. You're moving here to do music.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, for all of college,
Where'd you go?
I went to Temple University
yeah, okay.
in Philly.
Okay.
Great school. I had a great time. I went for entrepreneurship, and it was like kind of small business, but within the business school. And it, I met some cool people.
Yeah.
Played a lot of shows because it was in town, mm-hmm. and I had this booking agent would book me at like every sports bar or like, you know, like one speaker in the corner of like a bar with TVs, and you would play for 3 hours, like covers and stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, make $200 or $250, and then you get a wedding gig every once in a while. And, and like, there's people that do that for their gig. And,
For sure.
I think my wedding last year in Philly, I played like 175 of them.
Okay.
So like I was making money and I was doing it, but it was killing me. Like I was finding it really hard to get to the next thing from there. I played all the radio stations. I made like two or three, you know, EPs of music and stuff, and it was fine.
Yeah.
But I knew that I needed to like get to the next thing. And I was playing in New York a little bit, and I just couldn't like picture living there.
Different. Yeah.
And then I went to LA for a minute, and I did really? Not love it. I went for just like 2 weeks, and dude, it
never rains in LA.
But. I know. I there was other, I had like, you know, personal stuff going on. I just was like not in a place to like enjoy anything.
Gotcha.
And I didn't enjoy, and I've been back to LA and I like it. I mean,
I've
had a great time there last time I was there.
Yeah.
And then anyways, I came to Nashville. Do you know the company CD Baby? You ever heard of them?
CD Baby. Yeah. Like the DSP. Get your thing on.
Distribution.
Yeah,
whatever.
Yeah.
They were a big deal, you know, whatever, 10 years ago. And they they hosted a festival here that was like, it was like kind of South by Southwest, but focused on like, you know, small business and music and stuff. And I forget what it was called, but it sounded like a cool thing. So I just like came down for a week, and I had a friend of a friend that was going to, you know, show me around and stuff.
Yeah.
And within that week I had like four co-writes set up. I had shows to come back. I just felt very welcomed and stuff. And then I didn't make any like, you know, lifelong friends or anything, but I just felt like, oh, I see like a life here. There was I saw like apartments around, and I was like, oh, I could live there. Mm-hmm. I could do this. And even Austin, I'd been there.
Yeah.
And I just, Austin felt like I was going to just go and do cover band stuff again.
Yeah. That's, you know, a big part of the scene. Yeah.
And the industry was here and everything else. So I was like, worst case scenario, I'll just turn around. But like, this seems like a cool landing spot.
Yeah.
Anyways, that was 20, I guess it was 16 or 17.
16, 17.
And then came here, New Year's Day of 2018, very poetically.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Just was like starting new.
Like, was co-writing something that was kind of new to you?
I had never even like heard of someone doing that.
Yeah.
Like, I just, and I didn't know what a publishing deal, like I didn't know anything about the music industry.
Yeah.
I just knew that, and I tell people this that are like, you know, like my younger cousins that are going to school or going to college or whatever. If you do stuff that you like, if you get out of your house and do stuff that you like, you will find other people that like the stuff that you like.
Yeah.
It's the simplest thing of all time.
Yeah.
So like, I knew that if I moved here, I just went to shows that I liked or went to stuff that I thought might be interesting.
Yeah.
There was going to be somebody there by themselves, like just as brave and as scared to be there as me.
Yeah.
And we were going to be fine. You know what I mean? And, I had a friend that the song I just put out, I Can't Say It Back, is about a friend I met doing that.
Okay.
Who just like, he was like my place to like stand when I needed, just no, we didn't know anybody. Yeah. So, you know, we just kind of like were, you know, I'd be like, hey, you're here.
Yeah.
And I mean, like those people, I try to be that person now. Like if I'm going out and I know that I have a friend or even an acquaintance that is there and is feeling that and is like drinking their drink way too fast.
Yeah.
Because they're just, I've done it 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And I try to be that like island, you know, if I can.
Yeah,
you know
for sure.
I mean? And try to pay that forward. Because so many people did that for me when they did not have to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, man.
That's a great mentality to have moving to Nashville.
Yeah. I think it takes it does take a lot to move here.
Yeah.
But it's tough for me when people ask for advice and they don't want to leave their house.
Yeah.
It's like, You can't get anywhere. And I shouldn't say can't get anywhere because people get people go viral every single day from their house.
It's different. You still gotta have the skills.
It is different now. Yeah. But the way that I want to participate in a community and the way that I want to like do this thing is like with the thing. Like I want to like do the thing. I want to go and like be a part of it. I don't want to just like, you know, check into a Zoom meeting.
Yeah.
You know, like I don't want to live my life that way.
Yeah.
You know, and I think most people don't. I think that's just how you're conditioned to like do all this stupid stuff.
Yeah, man. For sure. And from the like the perspective of like getting better at your craft, like that's not gonna happen on TikTok probably.
No,
either.
I mean like, maybe. Gotta, I mean you can watch other people and be like, I'm gonna write a song like that.
Yeah.
And do it, I guess. Yeah. But like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just like the grumpiest 31-year-old of all time.
No,
but
it's good to meet people. It's good to go outside.
Like, that's why I still host shows. Like some of them are really like they're packed and there's tons of people. Some of them aren't that packed, but I always meet somebody. I always like. Or two people that I just know meet each other.
Yeah.
And then that like hosting Revival for all those years with my pal Rob.
Yeah.
Hosting the Fam Jam thing like I do now. Like yeah. Part of that is to just have a place for people to like show up and be awkward and yeah. like meet each other and be like, oh man, could I play here sometime? And like, yeah, maybe sure. Or yeah. like, or can we write a song sometime? And not even with me, just like
yeah.
in general for people to do that because yeah. that just doesn't happen that much anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
So I try to always, I think if I could do one thing in the Nashville community is to just try to do that as much as possible. Yeah. Like create that environment
yeah.
as much as possible.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, that's huge. And I want to get to Revival and Fam Jam, mm-hmm. but I also want to get to like, you're just getting here in Nashville in 2017.
Yeah.
You're doing maybe some odd jobs to like pay the bills.
I was an Uber driver.
Uber yeah. driver? Okay. Yeah. Anything else crazy? It was like.
Yeah, I've always kind of worked like in and out of like the golf world, believe
yeah.
it or not.
Okay,
like,
cool.
Like caddying or just like being working at golf courses and stuff. So I eventually got a job like doing that.
Okay.
But first, I mean, I was the woman that owned my place. The guy that lived below me, he was a contractor for these two ladies that owned like 40 houses.
Okay.
So, but they were everything from like beautiful big houses in Franklin to like kind of like sketchy, like kind of middle of nowhere houses
yeah.
to like beautiful houses in Sylvan Park. Like it was everything.
Yeah.
So like, I mean, I he needed like an assistant basically.
Yeah,
so, we redid this lady's bathroom in Brentwood, I remember, which took forever. Mm. Like I'm like, whatever this lady's paying you, it's not enough. because it just like keeps things. And it was like,
oh,
things
yeah.
on back. It wasn't the guy's fault. It's just like things were on back order.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
the demolition is mostly what I did. So like ripping up tile
yeah,
floors.
That's a good time.
I installed a hot water heater in this like very scary house with like, there was tons of people in and out
yeah.
the whole day. And I was just like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
Like, what is going on?
Yeah.
But the guy was like so nice and like treated me well. And like
yeah.
between that and Uber driving and I had saved like just enough money to live like 2 months.
Okay.
And that was basically it. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
And yeah. And then I didn't have any friends or anything, but I just kind of like, went to stuff,
yeah.
You know, Belcourt Taps was just no longer
that's
there,
right? Oh, sad.
Which was yeah. It was like the first day of school every single day.
Yeah,
it was everyone that had just moved to town, and they had like 8 hours of music every day.
Yeah,
there and Bobby's Idol Hour,
yeah.
which had an 8 hour. I swear to God, they had an 8 hour open mic on Wednesdays.
I didn't know
it. Which was mostly old people.
Yeah,
and you would just go there and they would smoke and Rolling Rocks were $2.25.
Yeah,
which is one of my favorite beers.
Yes,
and you just like hang there. And I met Gabe Lee there. I met
nice.
And then I went to Revival, which was Tuesdays, which I didn't even know what a writer's round was. I didn't know
yeah.
anything. Like,
yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah.
And turns out the host of the Revival at Tin Roof is from my hometown.
Who was it?
Rob Snyder.
Oh, geez, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Titan of
yeah,
songwriting.
Of course, yeah, of course, yeah.
And one of just my like best pals.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But like we met, you know, I probably told this story last time I was on here, but we met and he kind of needed someone to help
yeah.
around there. So I started kind of like, you know, hosting one round
yeah.
or, and then it was a little more than that. And then we, you know, just kind of gave me like an intro to everyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got to meet all these people that were 10 years ahead of me or 20 mm-hmm. years ahead of me in the Nashville journey. And I had just got here.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
it was a cool thing to like stumble into.
How far had, like how long have you lived in Nashville until that came along?
That was like, I think I went to that like my second week here.
Shit.
And he didn't have me start, you know, helping him
yeah,
with it
yeah,
until
yeah.
like maybe
that's
that
awesome.
Summer,
yeah.
you know, or maybe like a little bit later.
That's really cool.
But I think it's one of those things with any writer's round or stuff. And I run into this with the stuff that I book too. Is like your network's only so like my network, I feel like is pretty big, but
mm-hmm.
it's only so big. You always want like new,
yeah,
faces and stuff. And I had just moved to town and I was going out all the time. So I was meeting people. I knew who was great. I knew who was not as good. I knew like all this stuff.
Yeah.
And so Rob was like, why don't you just, all these people you're meeting all the time, just grab a couple of them and be the first round of the revival thing. And so then the more established stuff, guys were already there and girls. There's amazing female songwriters too.
For sure.
And yeah, so it just was like a really, good timing of a thing.
Definitely. What about Fam Jam? Like, how did that start going?
Well, after COVID, you know, Rob was doing family stuff and the Midtown kind of changed a bunch coming out of COVID. It just was like a different vibe. Mm-hmm. And I still wanted to host a show, but the Tuesday thing was tough just, you know, for a million reasons. But Fam Jam started because my favorite bar, Bobby's, had just reopened.
Yep.
And they, like my friends were all starting to tour and I was touring a bunch too.
Yeah.
But there was always like one or two weekends a month where everyone would just like be around and want to see each other, but they're just like, nothing was really put together. So it literally started as like, which weekends is most of my friends home?
Yeah.
And we would just like go to Bobby's and like play.
For
basically.
Sure. Yeah.
And then when anyone was putting out music of my friend group, it'll be that night or come play it for that and you know, invite the industry that we know, like it wasn't like the heads of record labels were coming in every week, but they have shown up, you know, it wasn't for that. It was just whoever's in town.
Yeah.
You know, we always say we should hang out.
For sure.
Let's hang out.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I went to that last one with Wes, Crit was playing, and Jack was playing. I think you mentioned something about how you'd like submitted to Americana Fest. I didn't know that's how it worked.
I just can't help about being like a jerk from Philly at some point in my life. Like I can't help but like, yeah. But no, man, it's just so funny. Like, I you know, you hear about Americana Fest, even like when I was growing up and you heard about it and like, what even is Americana, to be honest with you?
Yeah.
They kind of market it as like anyone who like doesn't quite fit inside the country music box, like this is your home. And they have this list of people that are playing it that's like a mile long.
Yeah.
And I'm nobody. Like I'm not, you know, saying that I'm, you know, huge success of an artist, whatever. But like I've almost all of my friends have played Americana Fest sponsored events.
Yeah.
And I've applied every year. I mean, for like a decade.
Yeah.
And you have to pay $25 to apply.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, at a certain point, I was just like, what if I just booked a show at the same time as Americana Fest?
Yeah.
For all the same people. And literally, like, people would come from their sponsored Americana Fest shows to mine.
Yeah.
To play it. Down the street. And like, the first one we did during Americana Fest week, it was like a packed and it was so much fun. Yeah. It was like this is the same thing. It's just like not the thing. And I think you can actually get like sued for saying it's part of Americana Fest and it's not. So I definitely should not put that on the poster next year. but it's kind of become this joke. Like, I even had like my friends who have played it multiple times tell the festival people like, hey, you know, you should have Vinny on this one next year. And like, it's still nothing. So
what did you do? What did you do to piss them off?
I don't know if it's like an Italian thing. I don't see that many Italian names on there, so maybe there's some sort of you know.
That is ridiculous, though.
No, and I'm not here to call out the the Americana Association or whatever it's called. But I just thought it was funny. Like I just for as much as I try to like be involved in the Americana like community and stuff, and I've been hosting shows and doing stuff in Nashville for all these years, I think the sixth time I got rejected, I was just like, I think I'm done. They've got my 20, what's 25 times six? They've got my $150 from my applications. And I think that's fine. I think we've squashed our beef at that point.
Yeah, very fair.
You know what I mean?
I have to think that that's going to happen for sure. But did you, this is kind of a dumb question, but it is like a question that you think of. Like, did you move here with the idea to be like, I'm going to be a songwriter? I'm going to be like an artist? Like, how do you, those things blend and whatever.
Oh,
but some people, you know, are partitioned like about it.
Yeah, I wish I knew. I've thought, people ask me that all the time, and I have no idea what I was thinking. I knew similar to the go where the stuff that you like is going on.
Yeah.
I heard about the, I heard the Stapleton record, the first Traveler. And then I looked up like where it was recorded and I was like, oh, Nashville, Dave Cobb. Yeah. Oh, Sturgill Simpson. I also like him. Oh, he did Southeastern. Southeastern was like a huge, yeah. So I was a Drive-By Truckers fan.
Oh yeah.
And then I was like freshman in college when Southeastern came out.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know that Jason Isbell was in, like I hadn't, yeah. We had no reference for any of this stuff.
Yeah, it's so but different.
I recognized his voice, yeah. And I was like, oh, that's the guy from Drive-By Truckers. Holy yeah. Shit, I love that. I love that song, Goddamn Lonely Love. I used uh-huh. to love that song. And all the other ones, but at that point, that was like my favorite one.
Like Three Daughters and Beautiful Wife.
Dude, so, yeah. So many good ones. And when Southeast came out, I was like, oh, man, this guy's from Alabama. He's obviously from Alabama.
Yeah.
But like, his songwriting... like world is something that I feel like I understand.
Yeah.
And then when Traveler came out, I was like, oh, this is like the full, this is like the if I could sing like that,
yeah.
I would love to sing like that.
Yeah.
Version of that thing. But still like I feel like he could play that record with a 4-piece band right now. And that's exactly mm-hmm. what he was doing. He still does that. He plays yeah. with a 4-piece.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's the thing. And then I saw them in Philly. Isbell opened for Stapleton.
Oh, sick.
And again, I was down the Sturgill Simpson rabbit hole. I knew Blackberry Smoke, I think, had done yeah. it by then. I can't remember when they did their Dave Cobb record or which one they did.
Uh-huh.
But like, there was so many of these like bands that I had kind of dipped my toe into.
Yeah.
Were making stuff here.
Yeah.
And I got a friend of a friend kind of, was like, hey, you should just like come down for a week and mm-hmm. like see if you like it. And from Philly, like super cheap flight, like it's I drove it a bunch of times. Like it's not
yeah.
that, it's really not that far.
Yeah.
I mean, so I just like I kind of just did it. And I was yeah. like, and I was like, what do I really have to lose?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, but as far as like what I wanted to do, I just knew that like I didn't really fit in Philly as far as like my music was concerned. Yeah. And yeah. I knew that even if I was writing songs for other people or if I was, you know, at that point I was still like, you know, I had my whatever business degree and I was like, maybe I can meet people that way. And I still wanted to be like, you yeah. know, on the creative side of things.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I don't know, maybe there's like a, just, I had done networking stuff. Yeah. Maybe I can like do a job for a while and like make some friends. Like yeah. I had no plan beyond that.
Yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
And then when I moved here, I was like, oh, I have to go full. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And I wish it was more concrete than that. Like some people are like, how did you know that when it was time? How did yeah. you know when you, I was like, no, I needed to just like get yeah. out of Philly for a minute. Yeah. And this is where I went.
Yeah. I think that's a lot of people's stories though. There's not really a plan. You just yeah. move here and you follow the muse like you do when you're writing a song.
Yeah, man. I think if I would have thought about it too long, I just wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
Cause I mean, truly I'm 8 years in whatever. And like, you know, it's not like I'm selling out stadiums and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I think I wasn't predicting a pandemic. I wasn't yeah. predicting like TikTok. I wasn't predicting like yeah. any of that stuff. But if I would have gone there in my head, I might have just like not done it.
Yeah.
And then like for whatever this matters to anyone, the art, you know, that I've made the last 8 years doesn't exist. Uh-huh. Like none of it happens.
Mm,
so yeah. the result of like that decision, mm-hmm. that set of decisions is that. Yeah. Is the art is it's not like getting to play the Ryman or you're gonna play the opera. It's the art itself
yeah.
is the result.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what I mean?
Like that's the end of it.
Yeah, definitely. You know?
Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. It does. When would you say like when you after you moved here you started feeling like success or like you were reaching a level of like I don't have to do these odd jobs as much.
Yeah,
I like you know.
Yeah, there's just choices, concert. Man.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, man, I have a, you know, 1-year-old. So if the daycare bills do and the light bills do and the mortgages do, there's just times where you got to do what you have to do.
Yeah. Of course.
And whether that's take a gig that stinks,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Or it's, you know, going and, I don't drive for Uber or anything anymore,
yeah,
but
yeah,
but
yeah.
if I had to, I would,
yeah,
you know
sure.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if that's really what it came down to,
yeah.
I feel like I felt, you know, success, whatever it is, mm-hmm. when I realized that when I was putting music out, there was human beings like listening to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it got on the stuff from the LP got on a couple little playlists and
yeah.
even the EP I put out years ago, in 21, I guess, or Yeah, 21.
Yeah.
It got on some random like Canadian playlist for whatever reason.
Like a Spotify one.
I was Apple Music, and then I think one song got on like, you know, some Spotify playlist where it maybe got 10,000 streams, which did not pay any bills.
Yeah.
Or any of that stuff. But I was like, oh, when I put this out there, at least there's like, it's like a phone call where there definitely is somebody else.
Yeah.
On the other side. And it's not like you can like, you know, touch and feel every single one of them, but the fact that there is like someone out there that is getting something out of this, then that means like that validation is not like the reason to do it, but it at least like made me feel like I was on some kind of right track.
Yeah.
It wasn't just completely dying. And people weren't like, I hate you, please stop doing this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're allowed, like, you can't get fired from this job.
Yeah.
Like, you just like, it's very difficult to get fired.
Yeah, definitely. Very difficult to get fired from this job.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I thought you said you can get fired from this job.
No, you can't.
I was like, interesting.
I don't think, well, I mean, I guess you could, I guess, but I don't know how.
I mean, fast forward to today, and I guess I could have looked this up, but are you playing consistently, like now on a
tour? The rest of this year is a little sparse, but hopefully next year, ramping up a little bit. I played a bunch this beginning of this year with Old Crow Medicine Show, opening for them, which so was cool. Those guys are just pros. They've been doing it forever. It's just like a great, this is a great operation. And I was very like the venues we played were cool. Like the crew is great.
Yeah.
I can't say enough good things about them. And then this fall I'm hosting, I hosted a bunch of fam jams. When is this out?
This is out soon. It's I don't know for sure. In the next like 2 weeks or so.
Got it. The fam jam on the 24th of October at Bobby's Idle Hour, if anyone is around. I'm gonna play, it's gonna be a writer's round to start, but I'm gonna play a set with me and my guitar player Damon. We're gonna play both EPs in their entirety and then a couple other songs.
Sweet.
So that'll be like kind of an elevated, kind of just a different concept. Because usually fam jams like 9 people each play 3 or 4 songs and call it a night. This one will be just like a little bit little bit of a different vibe. So that'll be October, and then I'm playing the Frank Brown Songwriters Festival in November.
Okay. Awesome.
And then pretty much chilling the rest of the year.
Okay.
Still writing a ton and actually writing next record.
Nice. Okay. Yeah. So, when is Volume 3 gonna come out?
Springtime. Probably single start in January, February.
Okay.
It's kinda like I'm giving away the formula,
but
kind of single a month for 3 months and then like the thing.
Okay.
Or 2 months and then the thing.
That's what they say you're supposed to do, I guess.
Dude, they know nothing about anything. What's his name? Morgan Wallen dropped 36 songs at one time. And everyone was like, this is the best ever.
Yeah.
I'm like, maybe. I have no idea. I don't know. I didn't listen to him, but his fans probably dug it. They're like, oh.
It's the Wild West.
36 songs.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Yeah.
But if like, if you wrote song like 26, like how many people are getting there?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's not a dig at anyone.
Yeah.
I'm just like,
where
do you go from there?
I guess if you're Morgan Wallen, there are people that get there.
100%.
100%. But the random.
And I'm not besmirching them.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that's a crazy thing to do. And like, they would never tell you to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's true. The same people who would say,
the same people that would say release a song every month for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
You know, probably told him to do the same thing. And he was like, no.
Definitely, man. Well, thanks again for coming on. I really appreciate it. Where can people keep track of these shows you're playing? Where at?
Yeah, I have a website, you know, VinnyPillagemusic.com, and the, all my dates and stuff are there. But then, I feel like Instagram is where I do the most promoting of stuff. It's just the easiest.
Definitely.
It's just my name. It's nice having a unique name.
Yeah.
Straight up, my name, Vinny, VinniePaolizzi.
Yes, sir.
That's it.
Well, everyone go look that up on Instagram, VinniI. And thanks again for coming.
Thank you so much.
Yes, sir. It's been the Raise Rowdy Podcast, and tune in next time.
Appreciate it.
Yes, sir.